In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. At our dinner here at church, after liturgy last Wednesday night, following our celebration of the feast of the meeting of the Lord in the temple, Matushka and I, together with those that were gathered, we were remembering our time in Japan many years ago when we were visiting Mana's relatives. And I had the joy those many years ago of visiting Mana's elderly grandmother, who lived in an old traditional Japanese home in Osaka. And what I remember about her home and what we talked about at dinner here at church on Wednesday was the door. The door in that house was only about 4 feet high. And it was 4 feet high on purpose. You cannot walk straight into a traditional Japanese home. If you did, you'd crack some ribs or have a very bad bruise on your head. To go through a door that rises only 4 feet, one must bend. You have to stoop or bow. You have to crouch sometimes, depending on how tall you are. To go in, you have to make a change. To enter this Japanese home, to use another word, you had to humble yourself. Whether emperor or peasant, whether old or young. In fact, the only ones who could enter the house without having to bow would be children, small children. Churches should have such doors. Doors that confront us with our need to adjust and to change and to reset our hearts and minds to get ready to worship. But we don't. Our doors are tall and wide, and if we are not careful, it becomes too easy to move into the church from the outside without making much of a change at all. It is too easy to bring into the inside what is always afflicting us on the outside, to bring our earthly cares and to bring our human darkness straight through those doors and then straight into our seats. This morning, the Pharisee falls into this trap. Christ tells us that he goes in the temple to pray, but we discover that he has not bent his neck. He has not stooped himself spiritually. His mind and his heart, they stand tall and proud. His mind and his heart are branded with the standards of the world, and his words stand 10 feet tall. Lord, I thank you that I am not like other people. I tithe and I fast and I do all that is asked of me. I am not like the scoundrels and the evildoers. I am not like this publican who has come to the temple this day to pray as well. The temple would indeed be a better place if there were more people just like me. Our words so often stand 10 feet tall, even on Sundays, even in this place. Lord, I thank you that I am not like other men. My family has been Orthodox since the baptism of Kiev 1,000 years ago. No one knows the temple better than I do. I have a PhD in proper conduct. When my children were small, they never uttered a peep. I am not like the others, especially those who don't know anything about the church. The temple would indeed be a better place if there were more people just like me. Or, Lord, I thank you that I am not like other men. I found the Orthodox Church later in life, and I now know everything there is to know about the one true faith. I am not like my Pentecostal grandmother and my Episcopalian parents, and I am not like those who were born into the Orthodox Church, but who do not know the difference between an icon and an eson. The temple would indeed be a better place if there were more people just like me. Or, Lord, I thank you that I am not like other men. I serve the liturgy and understand the true meaning of everything that we do. I lead classes. I write newsletters. I always interrupt my own schedule to answer the needs of others. I am someone who gives his life to the church. I don't just take, I give. The temple would indeed be a better place if there were more people just like me. Brothers and sisters, the physical doors that lead into our church, they are 8 feet tall. But thank God that each year we cannot enter Great Lent until we humble ourselves and bend our necks and pass uncomfortably through this Sunday of the publican and the Pharisee. The parable we hear this day is for us the 4-foot door that forces us to stop and to see that God is only asking for one thing. God asks for hearts that are humble, that are folded in on themselves, and that yearn for what he wants to give us, God's steadfast love and mercy. At the end of the parable, our Lord says, "All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." In other words, Jesus says, big ego, puny God. Right? The sin of the Pharisee, this is his sin. This is why pride is something so toxic. This is why pride is a sin. Being humble is not just good etiquette. Judging others is not condemned just because it's rude or obnoxious. The humility of the publican is not simply a bit of good manners. Humility makes room for God. We worship a God who loves us. The three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they have existed for all eternity in a communion of love, constantly moving outward toward one another and expressing the desire to exist for one another. And not only do Father, Son, and Holy Spirit constantly seek one another, they constantly search for us as well. God is always on the move in this world. God's deepest desire is to bring us and to bring all of creation into that same communion of love. But to do that, God needs room. He needs room to move, and the more space which is taken up with my ego, the less room there is for God. The more we say me, myself, and I, the less we are able to say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Big ego, small God. The Pharisee is a man of accomplishment. This we know. And he takes pride in his successes. He is comforted by his own work. He trusts in himself above all others. The temple has become for him his own little kingdom, and he is happy to be there, at large and in charge. He's happy to be king. God, at best, gets to stay in the building, kept like a family pet. And the Pharisee goes out to visit God from time to time. Brothers and sisters, in the weeks ahead, as we begin to move into Great Lent, we are asked to lay aside the pride of the Pharisee and to somehow recover the humility of the publican. But the church is not commanding us to be humble. The church is inviting us to be humble. There's a big difference. This is not a command. This is an invitation. The church does not force us through a 4-foot door. The church sings sweetly of a holy mystery this day. And the church calls us to enter with joy. Father Alexander Schmemann reminds us that we are called to be humble because God is humble. This day we are asked to contemplate Christ and to learn from him, the author of all creation, born as a fragile child. He is the Savior who invites the weak, who invites the burdened. He says to us, take on yourselves my own yoke. He says, learn from me, for I am gentle, says Christ. I am humble in heart, and you will find rest. This day we celebrate the true power of Jesus Christ. We celebrate the mystery of the one who is glorified through his greatest humility. It is not at his birth, it is not at his resurrection, it is not at his ascension, but it is at his death, that Christ becomes king. It is not until his own crucifixion, the moment when he gives himself entirely in love for the salvation of the world, it is not until he faces his own death for our sake that Jesus says, now is the Son of Man glorified, and in him God is glorified. To be humble is not to be less than human. For Christ himself, the one true human being, Christ himself is humble. And so for us, to be humble is to be Christ. To be humble is to be fully human. Today the church invites us to stoop together and approach Great Lent through the small doorway of mutual love. See in your brother and your sister this morning another treasure of infinite value that God has loved from all eternity. We stoop this morning and approach Great Lent through the small doorway of forgiveness. See in your brother and in your sister someone that you need, not someone you cannot stand. The church invites us through the small doorway of stillness and silence. You are a moving target, and God is out of breath. Stand still for a while. Pray more. Read Scripture. Let God catch up with you. And finally, there is the small doorway that leads to the chalice. Christ himself invites you forward with arms crossed and head bowed, and he greets you in love, giving to you once again the gift of himself. No matter how much money you have, no matter how many degrees you earn, no matter how many touchdowns you score, or how many votes you get, the one who exalts himself stands apart from Christ. But the one who bows down finds Christ. For Christ is the bowed down one who stoops and who searches, thank God, for all who are lost. Amen.